card inside. Rot. The card fluttered to the ground. Haley staggered backward, one hand to her chest. Her sudden struggle to breathe had nothing to do with the rotten smell and everything to do with the suffocating fear rising up inside her. What sick and twisted person had sent this? Why were they tormenting her like this? After gulping a calming breath, she took a hesitant step toward the box and examined the label more closely. It wasn't a proper shipping label at all. It had been printed out on a laser computer, but it was evident someone had hand-delivered the box to the front door. Her heart slugged against her chest, panic descending. In the midst of her confusion, another thought occurred to her. Her nosy neighbor, Edith, might have seen who had delivered it. Without taking a moment to second-guess herself, Haley dashed out of her house and ran next door, intent on banging on the door until Edith answered it. This time, Haley wouldn't let her go until she gave her the information she needed. After a third round of hammering on the door, interspersed by several frantic rings of the doorbell, Haley finally heard the sound of shuffling on the other side, and then the door opened the customary few inches. As soon as Edith's face appeared in the crack, the words began spilling from Haley's lips. "Please, can I come in? Something's happened, and I really need your help." The old woman's roomy eyes filled with alarm behind her glasses. Her puckered lips parted and snapped together once, and then, to Haley's surprise, she unlatched the door and pulled it open. For a moment, Haley stood stunned on the doorstep. She wasn't sure if she was more shocked at the fact that Edith had opened the door to her, or at the sight of all the stuff that was piled high behind her, spanning the entire length of the hallway. No wonder Edith and Harold never came out of their house. They were big-time hoarders, or at least one of them was, and the other one put up with it. Haley took a quick breath of stale air infused with decay and age, resigning herself to the fact that her neighbor's house would probably stink almost as bad as the rotten fruit fermenting in her garbage can. Unwilling to let the opportunity go by to grill Edith, she willed herself to step over the threshold and into a mausoleum of moldering stuff. Edith turned and began shuffling down the narrow strip of dark hallway. Unbidden, Haley followed her. There was nowhere else to go. Walls of boxes, tubs, and papers closed off any alternative routes. When they reached the kitchen, Haley swallowed back her dismay at the dismal state of the room. It, too, was stacked high with broken appliances, empty boxes, congealed food, and dirty dishes. A table was jammed against one wall, two chairs pushed beneath it. Edith sat down and gestured to Haley to do the same. She tried not to grimace as she pulled out a rickety wooden chair with a stained fabric seat. She could handle the mess for a few minutes to get the information she needed. She just hoped Edith didn't offer her a cup of tea or coffee. Instead, the old woman interlaced her fingers on the table in front of her and blinked expectantly at Haley. "The thing is, someone's been harassing me," Haley blurted out. "It's been going on for quite some time. Today, they left a box of rotten fruit on my front doorstep. A couple of months ago, they left a threatening note under my windshield wiper. They've damaged my car before, and I think they watch me at times." Haley hesitated, searching for the right words. "I know you and Harold keep a close eye on everyone who comes and goes in the cul-de-sac. Did you happen to see anyone at my front door today, or any strangers hanging around the neighborhood?" Haley sucked in her breath and waited for Edith's response. Heavy footsteps filled the silence. The hairs on the back of Haley's neck rose. Slowly, she turned her head and peered over her shoulder. Her pulse ratcheted up. A balding, round-faced man with reddened, piggish eyes huddled together in displeasure stood in the doorway. Harold. He pulled out a crumpled tissue and wiped a drip from his bulbous nose. His belly jiggled beneath his thin cotton shirt as he took a step toward them.
"What's going on here, Edith?"
His voice was low and raspy, his teeth yellow and uneven behind thin lips. Haley could tell by Edith's hunched posture that Harold was the one who controlled everything that went on in this house, including who was admitted. She'd put Edith in a bad situation by inviting herself in. She needed to do something to make it right. Getting to her feet, she extended a hand. "You must be Harold." He stood there, punching his fist repeatedly into the palm of his hand.
"Who's asking?"
His voice was sharper now, commanding, his eyes flicking to Edith. She seemed to have shrunk into an even smaller space than her tiny 5-foot frame comprised.
"This is Haley Wilder, our next-door neighbor," she explained in a bird-like whisper,
She needs my help with something. Harold's eyes flickered with rage.
Help? You're in no position to help anyone. What good are you?
Haley rocked back on her heels, shocked at the disparaging tone Harold was taking with his sister. She threw a quick glance at Edith, but it was obvious the woman was conditioned to his abuse and not about to stand up to him. As a matter of fact, Edith's been extremely helpful, Haley retorted. Harold's eyes lingered on her for a moment.
You're not welcome here. Get on back to your own property. If I catch you here again, I'll call the police.
He edged closer, his eyes boring into her.
And I don't think you'd like them stopping by, would you?
Haley's heart jolted in her chest, the loaded statement slamming into her like a punch to the gut. Did Harold know something? Or was she reading too much into his threat? Maybe he'd done some research on her and found out what had happened in her past. After all, he and Edith were an inquisitive pair.
Get her out of here!
Harold ordered his sister before slumping down in the chair Haley had vacated. Obediently, Edith got to her feet and led the way out of the kitchen and back down the strip of hallway. You don't have to let him speak to you like that, you know, Haley whispered. Edith blinked blankly at her from behind her thick glasses and then turned to open the door. As Haley stepped toward it, Edith muttered,
I saw who dropped off your parcel.
Haley cast a quick glance over her shoulder to make sure Harold wasn't watching them. Who?
It was a man, around 3 this afternoon.
She hesitated, frowning.
About your husband's size and height. In fact, he looked a bit like him.
Chapter 13. Haley's mouth fell open. She stared at Edith for a long moment and then shook her head. You must be mistaken. My husband was at work all day. He's not home yet.
Well, I didn't get a good look, so I can't say for sure, Edith said, pulling nervously at her ear. He was only there for a few seconds.
It might have looked like him at a quick glance, Haley said, softening her tone. How well can you see my front door from behind your curtain, anyway? She gestured to the family room. May I? Edith peered down the hallway and then gave a tentative nod. Haley squeezed through a narrow opening in the wall of boxes fencing off the family room and pulled aside the fraying curtain. She had a reasonably good view of her front door from there, but the window was filthy, and if she had to guess by the way Edith had squinted at her through her glasses when she opened the door, she likely hadn't had her eyes checked in years. Haley sighed inwardly as she pulled the curtain back into place. Edith couldn't be relied on to identify who had dropped off the package. The only thing she could count on with any certainty was that it was a man. That much Edith would have been able to make out from here.
Edith, what are you doing?
Harold roared from the kitchen. The old woman's fingers twitched, and she scratched at her cheek distractedly as she shot a pleading look at Haley. I'm leaving, Haley assured her. If you ever need help... Her voice trailed off, no sense in beating around the bush. She needed to speak plainly if she was to be of any assistance. Lowering her voice to a whisper, she added, If you want to leave him, I'll help you find somewhere else to live. You don't have to put up with that kind of abuse. With a final wave, she exited through the front door, Edith immediately pushing it closed behind her. Haley couldn't help but wonder if she would ever see the inside of the house again. It broke her heart to think that Edith was living out her days with such a monster. Maybe Harold owned the house and she was financially dependent on him. Haley frowned to herself as she walked back up the path to her own front door. She would give the director of Big Brothers Big Sisters a call as soon as she got a chance. He would know what services were available to help Edith get away from that brute of a brother of hers. Was it possible Harold was behind what was happening? The thought chilled her. He'd been furious when he'd found her in his house, and Edith was obviously terrified of him. She might have been trying to cover for him by saying she'd seen a man who looked like Jake drop off the fruit basket. The only question was why. As far as Haley knew, Harold didn't have any apparent motive to harass her. Back inside her house, she made herself a cup of peppermint tea, musing over Edith's bombshell. Deep down, Haley had a hard time believing that Edith had seen someone who looked like Jake dropping off the parcel, but she had to be sure. She wouldn't be able to sleep tonight if she had even a smidgen of doubt. The truth was that everything unsettling had started happening around the time she met Jake. Haley set her cup down with a heavy sigh. She had to get rid of this insidious seed of doubt about her own husband that Edith had planted in her mind. Reaching for her purse, she pulled out her phone and dialed Jake's office. He would hate it if he knew she was checking up on him, but with a bit of luck, he would never find out. Axis Financial Services, Rochelle speaking. Haley's heart raced. She hadn't taken the time to think through exactly how she was going to extract the information she needed. Hi, Rochelle. It's Haley Wilder. Oh, hi, Haley. Do you want me to put you through to Jake? No, it's fine. Thanks. She let out an apologetic laugh. Actually, I was hoping to ask you something, woman to woman. There was a long pause on the other end of the line, and then Rochelle said hesitantly, sure. What's up? It's a little embarrassing, to be honest, Haley continued, feigning a chagrined tone. But one of my coworkers thought she saw my husband in a cafe with another woman this afternoon. I don't know if she's just trying to stir up trouble for me, or if I have something to be worried about. Do you happen to know if Jake was at the office all afternoon? He sure was, Rochelle replied, sounding relieved to be the bearer of good news. We had a quarterly department meeting today. I ordered in lunch for everyone. No one's been out of the office. She hesitated and then added, That colleague of yours is either mistaken or trying to do your head in. Haley let out an exaggerated sigh of relief. Thank you, Rochelle. I thought as much, but she was so insistent it was him that she put a seed of suspicion in my head. Promise me you won't mention this to Jake. I feel stupid for doubting him. Newlywed jitters, I guess. Don't worry, my lips are sealed, Rochelle said breezily. I'm glad I could put your mind at ease. Thanks again, Haley said, ending the call. She set her phone down on the counter and sank back in her bar stool. As she'd suspected, Edith had been mistaken. She scrunched her eyes closed and waited until the knot in her chest unwound. It bothered her that lying still came so easily to her, even all these years later. She'd lied proficiently to the police when they'd asked her about Emma's diary. She'd been so smooth that they'd swallowed every word she'd fed them. But then lying was one of the things the Quad Squad had excelled at. Haley twisted her fingers together. Now that she'd done it, she felt bad for deceiving Rochelle and quizzing her about Jake's whereabouts. Maybe she didn't deserve a good man like Jake. It would serve her right if her relationship fell apart thanks to her paranoia, and if it continued along the path it was on, it might very well do just that. Haley stood and paced across the kitchen. Now that she'd eliminated Jake as a suspect, she went back to her theory that Edith was covering for Harold. If he was her stalker, it was time Haley did something to protect herself. Harold was a scary character, the type of man who could erupt in fury at the slightest provocation. The first thing she needed to do was install a high-tech camera security system. The alarm system they had wouldn't suffice. The second thing she intended to do was get a dog. Jake wouldn't be too happy about it, clean freak that he was, but it was her house after all. A guard dog could warn her if someone was prowling around outside or messing with her car. Her mind made up, she reached for her laptop and began browsing dog breeds and nearby kennels in earnest. By the time Jake arrived home from work, she'd already called a breeder with a litter of German shepherds for sale and made an appointment to visit them the following day after work. Jake eyed her warily as though he sensed something had happened.
How was your day? He ventured.
Haley grimaced. All right, until I got home. He frowned, swatting at a fruit fly, his gaze traveling around the room searching for its source. I can tell you where that fly came from, Haley said. Someone sent me a box of rotten fruit today. I tossed it in the outdoor trash. Jake blinked, digesting her words as he swatted at another fly.
Yikes. Well, that explains the bugs in here. I've never heard of an expired fruit delivery before. I'm sure the company will replace it.
That's not the point. It wasn't a gift from a satisfied customer, Haley explained, trying to curb the irritation in her voice. She picked up the note card and held it out to Jake. He took it from her and studied it for a long moment. It's still happening, Haley said with a tremor. Jake pulled out a stool and sat down beside her, a chastened expression on his face.
I guess you were right after all. I'm sorry, sweetheart.
Heartened by his response, Haley turned the laptop screen around to face him. I think it's time I got a dog for protection. I'm scared to be home when you're not here. And even when you are, anyone could be sneaking around outside without either of us knowing. We need a better security system, too. I want to install cameras around the perimeter of the house. Jake blew out a breath and leaned back in his chair.
Cameras are one thing, but a German Shepherd pup is a lot of work, Hales. You know I don't like dogs to begin with. And we're gone all day. A dog is going to go bonkers by itself. It will chew everything in sight. Besides, they shed a lot. You know how I am about keeping things clean. We'd have to vacuum this place every day.
I don't care about the extra work. It would be worth it to make me feel safe, Haley countered. There's a sicko out there bent on harassing me, and I don't know how far he's going to take it. I know you didn't really believe me at first, but you can't deny it anymore. Haley gestured at the card. This isn't the behavior of a sane individual. One of these days he might try and harm me physically. Her voice broke, and Jake reached for her and gathered her in his arms. She pressed her head against his chest and began to sob quietly. I'm so scared, Jake. I even went next door to ask Edith if she saw who delivered the parcel.
What did she say?
He asked in a measured tone. She didn't see anyone, Haley answered, the lie falling effortlessly from her lips. She couldn't risk Jake marching over there and confronting Edith. The poor woman was frazzled enough already. Her brother was there. He's a nasty character. He ran me out of their house. I'm half afraid it might be him who's behind all this.
He's just a grumpy old man, Jake soothed. Anthony and Stan told me all about him. He's been that way for years, never leaves the house. But if it makes you feel any better, we'll get a dog. So long as it's trained properly. I don't want to be stuck cleaning up after it.
Thanks, babe. Haley swallowed back a sob. Don't worry, I won't dump the responsibility for it on you. I can take it to weekend training courses, and I'll hire someone to come by during the day while we're at work to take it for walks. We won't let it go upstairs or lay on the couches, so you don't need to worry about dog hair.
We'll figure it out,
Jake said, giving her a reassuring squeeze.
The most important thing is that you feel safe.
Haley wiped the tears from her eyes. I've made an appointment to look at some pups tomorrow. Will you come with me? She held her breath, waiting for his response, needing him to be on her side, but not wanting to pressure him. She desperately wanted them to stop drifting any farther apart and to be on the same page about things going forward.
Sure,
Jake said after a long pause.
Let's go pick you out a guard dog.
Haley threw him a grateful smile and kissed him on the cheek. He may have had his doubts about some of the things that had happened to her, but the rotten fruit delivery proved she wasn't losing her mind. Whoever was waging a vendetta against her had struck again. Lance's ominous warning had been right all along. Someone had it in for her. Chapter 14. 3 weeks later, they brought home a female German Shepherd pup that Haley named Katniss. As she'd promised, Haley took the pup to weekend training classes religiously and even hired a local dog walker to come by during the week to exercise Katniss while she and Jake were at work. Their next-door neighbor, Jim Markham, had been kind enough to install the heavy-duty doggy door Haley ordered from Amazon. She'd asked Jake to tackle the project first, still horribly embarrassed by what had happened at the neighborhood gathering they'd hosted, but Jake wasn't particularly handy, and he'd wanted the job done right. I need to apologize for my behavior when you came over for our little get-together, Haley said to Jim as he finished screwing the door in place. That wasn't typical of me at all. I didn't even get to say goodnight to anyone. Jim waved aside her apology with a broad smile.
No worries. I'm glad it wasn't a seizure or something. You passed out cold. It happened so quickly it spooked everyone.
Haley rumpled her brow. It was odd. I felt like I was drugged or something. You didn't notice anyone touch my glass by chance? Jim sat up straighter, clutching his screw gun. His expression darkened.
Are you suggesting one of us spiked your drink?
No! No, of course not, Haley said, flustered. I just wish I knew what happened. Jim got to his feet and brushed off his work pants. He gave her an awkward grin.
It's okay. Your husband explained about the sleeping pills.
Haley stared at him in shock, opening her mouth to respond and then deciding against it until she'd had a word with Jake first. No wonder no one had mentioned the incident since. They all thought she'd been high, but nothing could be further from the truth.
Katniss should be all set now to go in and out whenever she wants,
Jim said, demonstrating the swing door.
Thank you. Again.
Haley stammered as she saw him out. Confusion balled in her stomach as she reflected on what he'd told her. She'd only started taking the sleeping pills after the party. Why had Jake lied about it? Her face burned with shame as the realization hit her. Her husband must have been so mortified by her behavior that night that he'd made up a cover story to tell the neighbors. Despite Haley's best efforts, Katniss soon became a bone of contention between her and Jake. The puppy was naturally curious and forever getting into things, chewing up stuff they left out while they were at work, and having accidents that had to be cleaned up when they arrived home. To make matters worse, Jake complained incessantly about the dog hair, even though Haley followed through on her commitment to vacuum daily. Things escalated until one morning Haley walked into the family room and caught Jake swinging a kick at Katniss to get her off the couch.
"Jake!" she cried, rushing over to grab the pup. "What do you think you're doing?"
He turned and glared at her.
"We had an agreement, remember? The dog's not allowed on the couch. She's supposed to stay in her bed on the floor."
"That's no reason to kick her. She's not doing any harm. Besides, it's not as if you're allergic or anything," Haley pointed out.
"That's irrelevant. I don't want to get up from the couch and find dog hair all over my clothes,"
Jake snapped back.
"Is that too much to ask?"
"Of course not. I'm training her not to jump on the furniture," Haley said, rubbing Katniss's neck while avoiding meeting Jake's accusatory gaze. Truth be told, she had been kind of lax about letting the pup on the couch when Jake wasn't around. She felt safe curled up with Katniss on her lap.
"Clearly the training's not working, and she's a destroyer. We need to get rid of her."
Haley threw her husband a horrified look.
"Don't be ridiculous. She only chews things she thinks we left out for her to play with. Remember why we got her in the first place. Someone's stalking me, Jake. We need a dog for protection. You agreed to this."
He let out a weary sigh, rubbing a hand across the back of his neck.
"You're right. Your safety comes first. I'll try and be more patient if you promise to keep her off the couch."
He walked over to the door.
"I gotta go to work. See you later."
Haley nodded, only partly mollified. Although she'd hidden her outrage, she'd been shocked to see a cruel streak in Jake for the first time. Maybe she was pushing it by asking him to live with a large German shepherd when he wasn't a dog person to begin with. Katniss didn't seem to be warming up to him either, and now Haley knew why. This mightn't have been the first time he'd swung a mean-spirited kick at her. She closed Katniss in the kitchen, grabbed her purse and keys, and made her way out to her car. Apart from the upheaval Katniss had caused, the past few weeks had been relatively uneventful as far as stalking incidents went. The new cameras they'd installed on the perimeter of the house to record anyone wandering around or approaching the front door gave Haley some peace of mind that her stalker could no longer loiter freely outside. She climbed into her car, reversed down the driveway, and pulled out of the cul-de-sac, her thoughts immediately zeroing in on the day's work ahead of her. All in all, things weren't going too badly at Huntington and Dodd. She loved her new job, and she and Natalie had become close friends over the past few months. Haley was even beginning to warm up to Lance. After engaging him in conversation on a couple of occasions, she'd discovered that he lived with his elderly mother and devoted all his free time to looking after her. It seemed Natalie was right after all. Lance was a little eccentric, but perfectly harmless and an all-around good sort. Haley merged onto the freeway, heading downtown in the direction of her office, her mind already preoccupied by the workload waiting for her. So far, she'd managed to hold things together and keep Nick satisfied, despite her many sleepless nights and the brain fog that dogged her, but it was taking its toll. She was exhausted most of the time, and Natalie wasn't the only one at the office who had commented on the dark blotches beneath Haley's eyes. Spotting her exit up ahead, she turned on her blinker and moved into the right lane. Braking as she exited the freeway, her brain belatedly registered something was amiss. She pumped the brakes furiously, but to her horror, the car didn't slow down. Her muscles locked as she slammed the brake to the floorboard and held it there. Seconds later, the crunching sound of metal filled the air as she plowed into the Toyota Tundra in front of her. Her airbag deployed, instantly pinning her to the seat, obscuring her view as an acrid smell filled her nostrils. She sat there stunned, vaguely registering the fact that an airbag wasn't a big, soft, fluffy pillow at all. It felt as if someone had whacked her in the chest with a 2x4. Within seconds, some good Samaritan wrenched open her car door and yelled,
"Are you all right?"
Haley blinked, her view of the stranger blocked by the airbag. Had she really rear-ended a truck on her way to work? My chest hurts. She fumbled for her seatbelt, but it was locked in place like a vise.
Everything's gonna be fine, the stranger soothed. Don't move. The ambulance is on its way.
Haley tried to nod, but her neck hurt. She was too parched to talk. The stench of the ruptured airbag had left a burning sensation in her throat. How had this happened? Did she wait too long to deploy the brakes? She must have been distracted, worrying about the projects for Nick she was dangerously close to falling behind on. She closed her eyes, but the stranger's panicked voice jolted her back to the moment.
Ma'am, can you hear me? You need to stay awake. The ambulance will be here any minute. What's your name?
Haley, she rasped. Haley Wilder. What about the people in the truck? Are they okay?
Everyone's fine. Just a little whiplash,
her good Samaritan replied. The wail of sirens soon filled the air. Within minutes, the police were directing traffic around her, and paramedics flocked to her aid, peppering her with questions.
Can you feel your legs? Where does it hurt? Do you have any medical conditions?
Somewhere in the middle of the chaos, a policeman took a brief statement. Half dazed, Haley wheezed out the appropriate responses. Before she realized what was happening, the paramedics had extricated her from her seat and loaded her onto a stretcher trolley.
Can you grab my purse?
She asked weakly. It's on the passenger seat. One of the paramedics reached inside and slid it out. What about my car? Haley asked.
The police will have it towed for you. Is there someone you want them to call?
My husband, Jake Wilder. She recited his number for the paramedic, barely able to muster up enough saliva to talk. Moments later, they were wailing off down the highway toward the hospital, despite Haley's protestations that she only wanted a ride home.
We need to get you checked out first,
the paramedic explained. Can I have some water, please? She whispered.
After I check your vitals, we'll get you something to drink just as soon as we can.
Resigned to being forced to jump through the innumerable medical hoops associated with a trip to the hospital, Haley closed her eyes and let the paramedics do their thing. When they wheeled her through the emergency room doors a short time later, an auburn-haired woman approached her.
I'm Dr. Nelson, she said, flashing a quick smile. Can you show me where it hurts?
Haley touched her chest. She was aching all over, but the only real pain was where the airbag had slammed into her. Dr. Nelson examined her carefully and then listened to her heart with a stethoscope.
Best case scenario, it's only heavy bruising, but I'm going to send you to X-ray as a precaution.
Before Haley had a chance to respond, Jake appeared in the doorway, an anguished expression on his face.
Hales!
He lunged toward her.
Are you all right, sweetheart?
I'm fine. My chest hurts from the airbag, that's all. Jake gently brushed her hair back from her forehead.
What happened?
Haley sucked on her lip as she rewound the scene in her head. I was exiting the freeway and the brakes failed. I ended up rear-ending the truck in front of me. A perturbed frown crossed Jake's forehead.
You just had new brake pads put on a month ago.
Haley studied his expression. She could see the doubt creeping over his face, almost as if he suspected she'd caused the accident, that she'd got distracted, or that lack of sleep had made her reactions slower than usual. She could hardly fault him. She was questioning things herself, sifting through the moments before it had happened in search of answers.
You can wait here for your wife if you like,
Dr. Nelson said to Jake.
We're taking her to X-ray.
As it turned out, they didn't end up bringing her back to the ER. After reviewing the X-rays, Dr. Nelson determined that she'd fractured a rib. As a precautionary measure, she was being admitted overnight. Jake, can you run home and get me some clothes, please? Haley asked as a hospital attendant wheeled her toward an elevator. Grab some pajamas and sweats and a t-shirt to wear home in the morning. And call Nick for me and let him know I won't be in today. She hesitated and then added, Be kind to Katniss. She's going to miss me. Jake kissed her on the forehead.
Don't worry about her. I'll make sure she's well looked after. I need to go into work for a couple of hours. I'll be back in a little bit to check on you.
After the nursing staff had settled Haley into her room and given her some painkillers, she closed her eyes to rest, but she found herself replaying the accident, yet again, trying to figure out what had happened, if she'd braked in time or reacted too late to the looming truck bed. A knock on the door roused her from a deep sleep. She glanced up to see a police officer standing in the doorway. Shock detonated through her as she blinked herself awake. How long had she been sleeping? Whatever the nurse had given her had knocked her out cold. She watched warily as the police officer entered the room and pulled up a chair next to her bed.
"I'm Detective Tillett," he began. "How are you feeling?"
"Sore and stupid for rear-ending a truck." Haley pulled a face, trying desperately to ignore her sweating palms, an involuntary physiological reaction that manifested itself any time she crossed paths with a police officer. Every detail of her interview from the day Emma hanged herself came rushing back. Every lie she'd told the investigating officers rising up inside her like an accusing finger. Detective Tillett stretched a sympathetic smile across his face.
"I gather from the police report that you applied the brakes repeatedly."
Haley frowned, her pulse throbbing. "Yes, I'm sure I did. I don't understand what happened." Detective Tillett pulled out a notebook and scribbled something down.
"We had your car towed to a nearby body shop."
Haley groaned. "Not again." The detective raised an eyebrow.
"Another mishap?"
Haley's heart fluttered. She shouldn't have mentioned it. "Well, not exactly. Someone keyed my car a while back. It was no big deal. The passenger door had to be repainted." To her dismay, Tillett bent over his pad and made a note of it. When he looked up again, his expression was grim.
"When was this?"
Haley swatted a hand through the air dismissively. She knew precisely when it had happened. She'd logged the date in her book, but the detective didn't need to know that. "A couple of months ago, probably kids."
"Where did it happen?"
Detective Tillett pressed. Haley shrugged. "To be honest, I'm not sure. I didn't notice it until later in the day. It could have been in the underground parking structure at work, or while I was at the grocery store." She twiddled her thumbs in front of her. "I hope the damage to my car isn't too bad. I'd prefer not to go through my insurance if at all possible." Detective Tillett rubbed a finger against his temple pensively.
"You'll have to discuss that with the body shop. I'm more concerned about your brakes than the damage to the body of your car."
"I just had new brake pads installed a month ago," Haley said. Detective Tillett nodded thoughtfully.
"Yeah, the technician at the body shop said they looked good. That's not the reason your brakes failed. Turns out there was a small tear in your brake line."
Haley raised her brows. "Oh, wow. Maybe I should have a full service done while my car's in the shop. It's 2 years old, and all I've done so far is change the oil."
"It was a precise tear,"
Detective Tillett continued, scrutinizing her.
"The repair technician who spotted it is fairly certain it didn't occur naturally."
Haley's chest heaved up and down, her breathing shallow and sharp. Was she understanding the detective correctly? If it wasn't down to wear and tear, then it wasn't an accident. He was suggesting someone had tampered with her brakes. She curled her toes beneath the sheet, her voice quietening. "That's why you're here, isn't it? You think someone cut my brake line?"
"It's a possibility we have to consider, especially in light of the vandalism you mentioned. It was a very small nick, but it appears to have been made by a tool."
Haley dropped her gaze. Her hands shook in her lap as the stark reality of what he was saying hit home. The stalking had gone way beyond the realm of harassment. Someone had tried to kill her.
"Haley, is there anyone you know who might want to harm you?"
She raised her head and met the detective's perceptive gaze. This wasn't just a sick game, and it wasn't something she could handle on her own anymore. She had no choice but to start at the beginning and tell Detective Tillett everything. Everything except her darkest secret. Chapter 15. When Haley had finished recounting the harrowing incidents that had occurred over the past 6 months, Detective Tillett leaned back in his chair and glanced through his notes.
"Based on everything you've told me, it sounds like someone has a personal vendetta against you. I'd like to take a look at that logbook you've been keeping, for starters. I realize you have your suspicions about who your stalker might be, and we'll certainly make a point of interviewing everyone you identified who had motive and opportunity."
He hesitated before adding,
"But I'm going to be blunt about what I need to ask you, so don't jump down my throat. Is there any chance your husband could be behind any of this?"
Haley sighed, letting her shoulders sag. "I really don't think so. I did consider that possibility when things started happening. I mean, he had ample opportunity, and it all began around the time I met him. I even called his work and spoke to the receptionist the day the rotten fruit was delivered to my house. She said he never left the office that afternoon. He was in a quarterly department meeting from lunchtime on. Haley fell silent, wondering if she should mention the fact that her next-door neighbor thought she'd seen a man around Jake's height and weight dropping off the parcel. But Edith was blind as a bat. Haley wasn't about to throw Jake under the bus, not when she already knew for sure he'd been at his office all afternoon. Detective Tillett gave a sympathetic nod.
That's a start, but it doesn't rule him out entirely. He could have hired someone to deliver the fruit.
The detective leaned forward and clasped his hands together in front of him.
I've been doing this a long time, Haley. Unfortunately, in my experience, it often transpires that the spouse is behind this kind of thing. I need you to at least be open to the possibility so you can help us eliminate your husband as a suspect.
Okay, she said dubiously. But I really can't imagine that Jake would do something this heinous. Besides, it's been going on since before we got married. And what would be his motive?
Do you have a life insurance policy?
Haley shrugged. A small one. A couple of $100,000. We both do.
Has your husband ever been aggressive toward you?
An image of Jake kicking Katniss flashed to mind. Did he have a hidden cruel streak? Or had she simply driven him to the point of frustration by not enforcing the rules they'd agreed upon about keeping Katniss off the couch? Jake had never laid a hand on her, or threatened her in any way, or even yelled at her. On the contrary, he was very even-keeled in his dealings with her, even when she frustrated him, a frustration that was justified of late. No, he's never been aggressive to me, verbally or physically.
Good. Are you willing to help us rule him out as a suspect?
Detective Tillett asked. I guess. Haley gave a helpless shrug. What do I need to do?
For now, just continue keeping your log and noting down anything odd or suspicious, and your husband's whereabouts each time something happens.
Haley nodded distractedly. I think you should interview Harold Moore, my next-door neighbor. He had easy access to my car. I leave it parked in my driveway, and half the time it's unlocked. He could have gone out in the middle of the night and cut the brake line. And he practically threatened me several weeks ago when I was in his house talking to his sister. She's terrified of him, so that tells you something about what he's capable of.
We'll send someone around to have a chat with Harold and the other neighbors in your cul-de-sac. If nothing else, it's possible one of them saw or heard something that could prove helpful.
Detective Tillett got to his feet and handed her his card.
Call me if you notice anything suspicious or if you feel threatened in any way. In the meantime, don't say anything to your husband about the brake line in your car being tampered with. I'll be in touch about taking a look at that logbook you're keeping.
His footsteps faded down the corridor, and Haley sank back against her pillows, trying to digest the enormity of what he'd told her. Someone wanted her dead. And whether she liked it or not, the police were involved now. She desperately wanted to talk it over with Jake, but she needed to heed Detective Tillett's warning, at least until he'd eliminated Jake as a suspect. She toyed with the idea of calling her parents, but she couldn't bring herself to alarm them any further than she already had. They might decide to hop on a plane if she told them she was in the hospital. Reaching out her arm, she managed to hook her fingertips around the strap of her purse lying on the small tray table near the bed. She groaned as she inched it toward her, her chest throbbing with the simple movement. Desperate to talk to someone, she dug out her phone and dialed Natalie's number. "Hey, you!" Natalie answered. "I texted you earlier. Where are you?" "I'm in the hospital," Haley said. "Are you serious?" Natalie's playful tone switched to one of concern. "What happened?" "I rear-ended a truck getting off the freeway." "What? No way! You didn't fall asleep, did you? You've been so tired lately." "No, nothing like that. My brakes failed." Haley paused mid-thought and chewed on her lip, debating whether or not to tell Natalie the truth. Detective Tillett had only warned her not to mention it to Jake, and she badly wanted to get Natalie's take on things. It couldn't do any harm. "The thing is, Nats, a detective stopped by here a few minutes ago. He told me the body shop discovered a suspicious tear in the brake line." Natalie let out a gasp. "You mean, are you saying someone deliberately tampered with your brakes?" "That's what this Detective Tillett thinks. I filled him in on everything else that's been happening, too. He's going to send someone around to talk to my neighbor, Harold Moore, the scary hoarder." "Good! It's about time someone put an end to this. It's gone on long enough.
Haley said nothing for a moment. Natalie was right. If someone didn't put an end to it soon, it might end with her demise. It was a sobering thought.
You still there, Hales?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Natalie pressed.
There's something else you're not telling me, isn't there? You should know by now you can't hide anything from me.
Haley furrowed her brow. I hate even bringing this up, but I think the detective suspects Jake. He kept going on about how it's usually the spouse who's behind things like this. He even asked about our life insurance policies.
Natalie let out a snort. He doesn't know Jake. It's his job to consider everyone in your immediate circle a suspect. It's protocol, process of elimination. Don't worry about it. He'll probably question me, too.
He wants me to keep documenting everything and confirm Jake's whereabouts each time something happens. I told him Jake was at his office when the rotten fruit was delivered, but he said Jake could have hired someone to drop it off for him.
That's ridiculous, Natalie protested. Why would Jake do that? Unless you have some kind of multi-million-dollar insurance policy or some...
She caught herself mid-sentence and then continued.
Do you?
No, of course not. We each have a $200,000 policy, that's it. Barely enough to pay off the house.
Hardly enough to kill for, Natalie mused. Unless Jake has debts you don't know about.
No, we have joint accounts. He doesn't hide anything from me.
Well then, there's your answer. I'm sure the cops just need to rule him out. As soon as they've done that, they'll get busy finding the jerk who's doing this to you.
I hope so, Haley said. I'm not sure how much more of this I can take. She glanced up at the sound of footsteps to see Jake entering her room with a duffel bag in hand. Her grip on the phone tightened involuntarily.
I gotta go, Nats. Jake just arrived. Thanks for chatting.
She ended the call and slipped her phone back inside her purse. Jake set down the duffel bag and smiled.
How are you feeling?
It hurts to breathe hard. Other than that, I'm okay.
Jake slid into the chair Detective Tillett had vacated moments earlier and reached for Haley's hand. He interlaced his fingers with hers in the familiar, comforting way he had done from the very beginning of their relationship.
I'm so sorry, Hales. I haven't been supporting you like you deserve. I should have believed you from the outset.
She squeezed his hands lightly, wondering as she did if these were the hands that had cut her brake line. A tiny shiver crossed her shoulders.
I haven't been the woman you married lately either. I've been falling apart at the seams. I can understand your frustration with me.
Jake raised her fingers to his lips and kissed them gently.
I want that woman back, and I'll do anything to make it happen.
I know, she said softly. Your efforts haven't gone unnoticed. After all, you caved in and let me get Katniss and a cutting-edge security system.
Jake chuckled.
Speaking of Katniss, she whined like a baby when I packed your clothes. I swear she knew you weren't coming home tonight.
He reached into his pocket and fished out his phone.
Here, I took a picture of her so you can see how miserable she is without you.
Haley studied the shot of Katniss with her head resting on her paws, staring morosely at the camera.
Poor baby, I feel so bad for her.
She handed the phone back to Jake. I'll make it up to her when I get home tomorrow.
You'll have to be careful with your broken rib,
Jake warned her.
She's going to be especially rambunctious when she sees you again.
I know.
Haley let out a weary sigh. She won't understand why I can't play with her.
I'll volunteer to be your temporary stand-in,
Jake offered.
She doesn't like me half as much, but at least I can throw the ball to her in the backyard.
Thank you, babe. That's sweet of you, Haley answered, touched by the gesture, knowing how little affection Jake had for dog hair and slobber.
He rubbed a hand across his jaw.
Do you want me to call the body shop and get an estimate on your car?
No,
Haley said, a little too abruptly.
I mean, I'll sort it out with the insurance company. They're going to need my authorization anyway.
Jake shrugged.
Whatever, just trying to take some of the load off you.
Haley leaned forward and kissed him on the lips.
I know, and I appreciate it. You're the best.
I should get going and let you rest,
Jake said.
I brought a stack of work home I need to tackle.
Don't forget you promised to play with Katniss. I'm going to ask her if you followed through.
I'm on it,
he said, winking at her. Haley yawned. I slept hard after I got to my room, but I'm still wiped out. I feel like a dish rag after this whole ordeal.
Jake wrinkled his brow. Do you think you got distracted or something?
I guess so, Haley replied offhandedly. I was mulling over all the work stacked up on my desk. I must have spaced out and not noticed the truck in front of me braking.
Jake's expression relaxed. Don't stress out about it anymore. I know you haven't been sleeping well lately. I'm just glad the accident wasn't serious and that you're okay.
Thanks. Haley forced herself to smile as he blew her a kiss before exiting the room. She closed her eyes and let out a relieved breath at his departure, leaving her alone with her conflicted thoughts. Was he glad she was okay? If he wasn't, he was an impressive actor. But she was a good actress, too. She'd had plenty of practice over the years. She'd done as Detective Tillett requested and kept Jake in the dark about the damaged brake line. If she was in any danger from her husband, she didn't want him to know she was watching him now, too. Chapter 16. A few weeks after her accident, Haley was fast asleep in bed in the middle of the night when she woke with a start. She blinked, listening for the sound that had startled her. Footsteps. Was that what she'd heard, or was she dreaming? She reached out a hand and felt Jake's warm, motionless body next to her. She listened to his even breathing for several minutes as she lay beneath the duvet, silent and frozen still, alert to any movement. It couldn't be Katniss she'd heard moving around. Haley had dropped her off that morning to get spayed, and the vet had kept her overnight after she'd reacted badly to the anesthesia. Just when she was about to turn over and go back to sleep, a floorboard creaked. Her body tensed, her blood oddly cold in her veins. A strange prickling sensation came over her. What if her stalker was in the house? Gripped with fear, she jabbed Jake in the back. "Jake!" she hissed. "Wake up!" He groaned and shifted in the bed, then rubbed his eyes and peered over at her.
"What? What's going on?"
His voice was lethargic, heavy with sleep.
"Someone's in the house," Haley whispered urgently. "I heard them walking around."
"Come on, Hales, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Go back to sleep."
"I'm serious, Jake. Someone is moving around out there. They stepped on that loose board outside the guest bedroom."
He yawned loudly and rolled over.
"Katniss would have barked if someone was in the house."
"She's not here. She's still at the vet's, remember?"
Jake groaned again, tossed aside the duvet, and tumbled out of bed.
"All right. I'll check it out, but I'm telling you, there's no one in the house."
"Please be careful, Jake."
Haley sat up in bed and pulled the duvet up to her neck. She hadn't imagined it. She'd heard a floorboard creak. There was one spot in particular on their landing near the guest bedroom that always made a squeaking sound when anyone walked on it. Agonizing minutes ticked by before Jake returned. He threw himself back down on the bed and curled up beneath the duvet with a shiver.
"You are mistaken. There's no one there, no ghosts or zombies wandering around in the house. You must have been dreaming."
Haley pressed her knuckles to her forehead. Could she have imagined it? Maybe it wasn't the floorboard, just the house settling or something. Despite the sleeping pills she'd taken, she'd slept fitfully, but the creak that had wakened her was an all too familiar sound.
"I'm sure I wasn't dreaming, Jake. It sounded like someone was walking around out there. What about the cameras? Did you check them?"
"They need to be reset," he mumbled. "The power went out when I was watching TV."
"Are you kidding me?" Haley exclaimed. "Why didn't you do it before you came to bed? You know how important that is."
She waited for him to respond, but he was already snoring. She didn't sleep a wink for the rest of the night, convinced someone had been in their house. One of the neighbors, perhaps? The same neighbor who'd thrown out her walk. She tossed and turned, speculating if it might have been Harold. But how had he got inside? Her thoughts turned to Stan. She'd always wondered at the back of her mind if he'd kept a key to their house after showing it. It wouldn't be ethical, but unethical people didn't do things by the book. And then there was Jim. As a handyman, it wouldn't be hard for him to find a way into their house. She didn't know too much about Anthony, but Jake had mentioned that he was obsessed with online gaming, up at all hours of the night, which was enough to make him a suspect as far as she was concerned. Shortly before dawn, Haley slipped out of bed and wandered down to the kitchen. She made herself a strong pot of coffee and sat down at the table, sliding her fingers around her mug to warm them. She might as well go into the office early and start on the stack of work piled up on her desk. Only yesterday, Nick had expressed concern about her growing backlog. It was the first time she'd come dangerously close to letting him down on a case deadline.
She needed to make things right before he lost faith in her. With a heavy sigh, she picked up her mug to take a sip of coffee and froze. A face in a black ski mask was pressed up against the kitchen window. The mug slipped from her fingers, smashing on the tile below, coffee splattering in every direction. She shoved her chair back, yelping as the hot liquid splashed her ankles. She stared down at the mess in disbelief before glancing back up at the kitchen window. The face was gone. A cold sweat spread over her shoulders. Was it her stalker? What if he tried to get inside the house? She kept her eyes trained on the window and rubbed her temples, trying to collect her thoughts. Had she actually seen a face, or had she imagined it? After all, she'd barely slept. Her eyes were burning, and her brain was a complete fog. She briefly considered waking Jake, but he already thought she'd been dreaming when she heard the footsteps last night. He'd think she'd lost it entirely if she told him she'd seen a face at the window, and it turned out there was no one prowling around outside. She reached for her purse on the counter and rummaged through it for Detective Tillett's card, staring at the number for a moment. He'd urged her to call if anything else happened. He suspected her husband was behind the harassment, but this proved otherwise. Jake was fast asleep in bed last night when she'd heard the footsteps. It seemed ludicrous to think he would hire someone to walk around inside their house or peer in the window just to scare her. Still, whoever the intruder was, he knew Katniss wouldn't be here. It couldn't be merely a coincidence. Her intruder knew her schedule. Before she could talk herself out of it, she pulled out her phone and punched in Detective Tillett's number. Maybe he could send a cop over to take a quick look and check for footprints, at least. Any evidence at all to prove she wasn't going mad.
Detective Tillett speaking.
Hi, it's Haley Wilder.
Is everything okay?
No, not really. That's why I'm calling. I heard someone walking around in my house last night. Jake thinks I'm losing it, but I didn't imagine it. I heard the floorboard outside the guest bedroom creak. There was a slight pause before Detective Tillett asked,
Did you see anyone?
No, she admitted. But I spotted someone outside the house. I got up early to make a pot of coffee, and when I sat down at the table, there was a face in a ski mask pressed up against the kitchen window. I think it was a man, but I'm not sure.
What time was that at?
Just a few minutes ago. He scared me half to death. I spilled my coffee everywhere.
Did you check to make sure your doors are locked?
Haley bit her lip. No, I assumed they were. We always lock them before we go to bed.
Stay on the line with me while you check,
Detective Tillett said, an edge of heightened concern in his voice. Haley got to her feet and checked the door off the kitchen first. The back door's locked, she confirmed.
Okay, now try the front one.
She swallowed hard as she made her way down the hall toward the front door, half expecting a man in a ski mask to burst through at any second. It's locked, she said in a relieved whisper.
Good,
Detective Tillett responded.
I've dispatched a patrol car to your house. I'll have my officer check the perimeter to make sure no one's loitering outside. I'll stay on the phone with you until the patrol car gets there so I can confirm the officer's identity. You'll need to give him a statement.
All right, Haley gave a resigned sigh. But please ask him not to ring the doorbell. Jake's still asleep. With a bit of luck, he'd stay asleep, and he wouldn't find out that she'd called Detective Tillett. He'd be annoyed with her for making a fuss. But just because he hadn't seen anyone didn't mean there hadn't been an intruder in their house last night, or loitering around outside this morning. I need to set down the phone for a minute while I clean up the mess I made, Haley said. I'll put you on speaker.
Go right ahead,
Detective Tillett replied.
I'm here if you need me.
Haley fetched a dustpan and broom and began sweeping up the broken pieces of the mug, and then got a rag and mopped up the coffee as best she could. She needed to get rid of the evidence of her hysteria before Jake came downstairs and freaked out about the mess all over the tile floor. A short time later, she heard a car pull up outside the house. The police officer's here, she said to Detective Tillett. She peered through the family room curtain at the squad car, wondering if Edith, or Harold, was doing the same thing next door. More drama for them to gossip about. A young police officer exited the car, walked around the side of the house, and then reappeared a few minutes later at the front door. He knocked gently and held up his ID. His name's Wheatley, Haley said into the phone.
That's him. You can let him in,
Detective Tillett responded.
I'm going to hang up now.
Haley set down her phone and opened the door.
I'm Officer Wheatley,
the man said, inclining his head. Detective Tillett sent me to do a welfare check. He briefed me on what's been going on. I understand you heard an intruder and saw someone outside your window.
Yes, come on in. Haley led him through to the kitchen and indicated for him to take a seat.
I see you have a security system. Have you checked your camera footage yet?
Officer Wheatley asked. Haley grimaced. The power went out earlier this evening. The cameras need to be reset. Officer Wheatley pressed his lips into a disapproving line as he fished out a notebook from his pocket.
Can you tell me what time you heard the intruder walking around inside your house?
Before Haley had a chance to answer, Jake appeared in the doorway, still in his pajamas, a look of utter confusion on his face.
What's going on?
I saw someone outside our house, Haley explained hastily. He had his face pressed up against the kitchen window and he was staring in at me. It could have been the intruder. I knew I wasn't dreaming when I heard footsteps inside the house last night. Jake scratched his head and wordlessly joined them at the table. He folded his arms over his chest and waited for Haley to continue. She turned her attention back to Officer Wheatley. It was a little after 3 this morning when I heard someone prowling around outside our room. My husband got up to take a look, but he didn't see anyone. Officer Wheatley turned to Jake.
No sign of forced entry?
Jake shook his head.
None. I couldn't find any evidence that anyone had been in the house. Nothing was disturbed.
Officer Wheatley jotted down a few notes and then turned his attention back to Haley.
What time did you see the face pressed up against the kitchen window?
Around 5:15. I made some coffee and sat down at the kitchen table with it. When I looked up, someone was leaning against the glass staring right at me.
Can you give me a description?
Not really. I think it was a man. He was wearing a ski mask, so I couldn't see his face, but I'd say he was at least 5'10". She hesitated. Did you find any footprints out there?
Nothing,
Officer Wheatley said.
But that doesn't mean to say there wasn't anyone out there. It hasn't rained in a couple of weeks, so the ground isn't damp, and there's a concrete pathway right outside your kitchen window.
Jake turned to Haley.
Don't you think it's possible you might have imagined it, sweetheart? You hardly slept all night. Your mind could have been playing tricks on you.
Haley frowned and dropped her gaze. Loath as she was to admit it, she was beginning to ask herself the same question now that the sun was up. Could she have imagined it in her sleep-deprived state? Officer Wheatley cleared his throat.
I'll write up this report and pass it along to Detective Tillett. I understand this is part of an ongoing investigation.
Jake frowned and pinned a questioning gaze on Haley.
What's he talking about?
Her cheeks heated as she wrestled with how much to tell him. Detective Tillett's warning still rang in her ears. I decided to file a police report on the vandalism to my car. Probably not a big deal, but I thought it wouldn't do any harm to have it on record. That and the other stuff that's been happening. The expression on Jake's face hardened.
And you didn't think it was worthwhile telling me? Or were you trying to keep it from me?
Officer Wheatley scratched the back of his neck and stood, looking decidedly uncomfortable.
I'll see myself out.
Thanks for coming by, Haley said. I really appreciate it. She got to her feet and accompanied him to the front door, casting a quick glance over her shoulder to make sure Jake couldn't overhear her. My husband thinks I'm imagining things, but someone was in our house last night. I'm sure of it. Officer Wheatley gave a respectful nod.
You might want to think about staying with a friend for a couple of nights. If the intruder returns, you may not be so lucky next time.
Chapter 17.
Haley remained subdued at work that day. She put on a good show of being absorbed in the assignments Nick had told her to prioritize, but in reality, her mind kept backtracking through the events of the previous night. The thud of the intruder's footsteps replayed on a continual loop in her head. On several occasions during the course of the morning, she found herself retreating to the bathroom on the verge of a full-blown panic attack. Her chest hurt and her palms were sweaty, but most disconcerting of all was that she was having a hard time getting her breathing under control. Each time, she splashed cold water on her face and sank down with her back against the bathroom wall, praying no one would walk in on her until she felt sufficiently composed to return to her desk. Truth be told, it felt like she was dying. It was bad enough to know that someone was stalking her, but the thought that they'd been inside her house was more than she could handle. Somehow, she struggled through until lunchtime. Natalie took one look at her and grimaced. Lunch is on me. I know you've got something preying on your mind. I've got too much to do, Haley protested, throwing a quick look Nick's way as he exited his office with a new client in tow. I need to work through lunch today. I can't risk slipping behind again.
You're not going to accomplish anything unless you get whatever's bothering you off your chest, Natalie replied.